I thought it was a Word document.
It can be either.
Chris said Word document. He sent them a Word document. Right? An email?
They should. I also sent them access to the Google Doc. And the Google Doc is the thing that has the judging in it as well.
Are you able to share your screen?
Mm-hmm.
Because then we could look at it online.
I'm sharing my screen as well.
Oh, good. There we go.
You have it?
Yes, we see it.
All right. So this is what our subcommittee has been working on the last few weeks. The subcommittee is Sydney and Felice and Chris and me. And we were working off a proposal made by Michael in our last meeting that we come up with a short and long-term grant project, which would use some amount of the tourism funds to fund projects that would, you know, businesses and organizations could send us proposals within a certain award range, and they could either be for things that could happen during social distancing or after, whenever that is. And we all worked on that together and came up with the draft that you guys are looking at now. And we could just read through it real fast.
Good.
And this is all draft language, and eventually, because everybody does have it in Google Doc form, it's something that is editable by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
What we've been doing is working on it in the suggestion mode, and you can always also highlight and put comments in. You won't be able to do it sharing my screen now, but in your own. On your own computer, you can always highlight something and put in a comment if you have a question, that isn't addressed right now. So what we came up with was the Hudson New York Tourism Board, a 9-person board established in 2017 by the short-term lodging tax, and this is just a link to the law, is welcoming applications for grants to fund projects that promote Hudson as an attractive destination for a broad cross-section of people and that strengthen our communities and economy. Businesses and organizations within Hudson City limits are eligible to apply. The Tourism Board will evaluate proposals to determine those best suited to encourage business and local engagement within our city and establish Hudson as an attractive destination for overnight travelers, day trip visitors, and local residents, as is safe and advisable per public health recommendations. The Tourism Board will consider how each proposal supports the local economy in our community. We will prioritize projects that, 1, illuminate or create a unique experience of Hudson's communities and businesses, 2, enliven Hudson city life, 3, create local opportunities for recreation and or seek to advance walkability, climate resiliency, and accessibility, 4, use tactical urbanism tactics which focus on low-cost DIY projects. To help us assess your proposal, please fill out the following questions as thoroughly as you can. We're currently, and this is language that particularly is, you know, we came up with as a way of having something to talk about. So please, as you're listening, don't imagine that you're going to have to take an adversarial stance if you disagree with some of this. This was just like, we put our heads together, we came up with this, we're totally excited about hearing, you know, what everybody thinks, and of course, legal needs and recommendations. We're currently evaluating proposals for both socially distant short-term grants with awards of up to $5,000 and long-term grants with funding up to $15,000. For 2020, the Tourism Board has earmarked $100,000 for socially distant short-term grants and $100,000 for long-term grants. Please indicate which grant you're applying for. Socially distant short-term grants should be for projects which show immediate benefits to Hudson and enable appropriate social distancing and healthcare protocols. The Tourism Board reserves the right not to spend the full amount budgeted. We're allowing applicants to apply for multiple or successive grants. Each will be evaluated separately. And this is, you know, language that you can even see in all the comments. We're just sort of trying to respond to each other's thoughts today before this meeting. Proposals will be evaluated by the Tourism Board to determine which we submit to the Hudson Common Council for funding. The Tourism Board will use a point-based system to evaluate each proposal to ensure a fair and objective process. The Tourism Board will prioritize qualifying proposals that support our businesses, communities, and the local economy as a whole. This is another idea that we definitely are excited about feedback on. The Tourism Board considers new proposals every month. Proposals should be submitted by some date, by the date of the month. Funding for each proposal is contingent on approval from the Common Council. The Tourism Board will notify applicants of the decision within 2 days after the Common Council meeting. Thank you for your interest and good luck. Direct any questions on the process to somebody. We'll decide who. And then here's the application. Please enter the name of your organization, the date, eligibility. Check only one of the following. We're applying for a socially distant short-term grant up to $5,000. And then the amount of funding. We're applying for a long-term up to $15,000 grant for the proposal that requires more time, amount of funding. And in red here is just for us. So this would not be on the what we put out to people. This is just an internal facing part. The actual grant proposal requests will have none of this red text. The applicant must check one to be considered. Are you a legal business or organization operating within city limits? Address, etc. Is your business or organization minority, veteran, women, LGBTQ, and or differently abled, operated, / owned? Please identify all that apply. We're grading on a 5-point system. How long has your business or organization been in operation? Does your proposal adhere to physical distancing and public health recommendations? Has your business or organization been open or operating since social distancing went into effect? Are you collaborating with any local organizations, community groups, or businesses? If this proposal is being submitted in collaboration with another organization, community, or business, please list here. Overview, please describe your proposed project in detail, include start date, goal, start date, timeline, scope, and end date. Again, there's a score. Please list the names and titles of principal contributors to your project and contractors to be involved. Please provide a detailed budget for your proposal. Itemize as much as possible, including what funding will be used for, with a breakdown of planning, execution, materials, expenses, and post-project activities as appropriate. Include a proposed timeline. Are you, and then here's again the scoring mechanism, are you anticipating any outside or matching funds? Is the proposal contingent on additional funding? If yes, please elaborate. And you can read through this scoring thing. Have you managed or staged a project of this magnitude before? Please describe your experience and relevant skills in executing this program. And this was important to us because we want to encourage, you know, people who have the skills, but not the experience to feel able to do it. So that was the reason for this wording. So that there's like a wide variety of people applying. And then please provide any relevant backup material. Feel free to include attachments or online links to information. If the proposal has been successfully completed elsewhere, please provide details or examples of similar successful projects. Visual documentation of your inspiration or similar projects is also appreciated. I think this is going to be a really fruitful one because, there's no points. You don't have to have this, but I just think it will be really wonderful to see what other communities have done for social distancing stuff. And I know people are already kind of collecting a lot of these. Does your proposal meet insurance and indemnity requirements for the city of Hudson, see attached, or make special provisions for such requirements to be waived? Have you factored in necessary permits, local state laws, permission needed, etc.? How does your project benefit Hudson? Be as specific as possible. How will it improve the experience of our place, which could be your community, your block, a park, a facet of the city? What benefit will it have for Hudson residents? How will it benefit others who work at, operate, or own a business in Hudson? Does your project highlight and engage Hudson's creative and cultural communities? And here I just experimented with breaking down some of these qualities. The benefit to Hudson residents, the benefit to businesses, and the engagement of creative communities. How do you plan to promote, publicize, and market the project? Is the project employing local talent or creating jobs? If so, how many do you anticipate? What communities are you trying to reach with this project? Does it target a minority, veteran, women, LGBTQ, and or differently abled community? Is the project child-centered, senior citizen-centered? Is the project accessible to residents and visitors? Is the project ADA compliant, if applicable? Does the project contribute to making the city more walkable? See attached definitions. We have a sheet of definitions that you guys all have in Google Doc form. does the project contribute to climate resiliency? This is also in the definitions. How does the project affect or contribute to local Hudson infrastructure and or city planning? Does it utilize principles of tactical urbanism, i.e. DIY, low cost, temporary pop-up, pretty easy to achieve, see definitions? Are you proposing a permanent change or structure? If applicable, please describe how the proposal adheres to social distancing and requirements for public health and safety. If you're applying for a long-term grant, which of Hudson's projected tourist communities does your project appeal to? Overnight visitors, day trippers, local tourists, or intra-Hudson tourists, i.e. visitors from inside Hudson itself? What are the goals and metrics for this proposal? What does success look like? In your own words, why is this project important? What else should we know about you, your organization or business, and or your proposal? Thank you.
Great.
That is what we have. I can share the definition sheet if you guys on my screen, if you guys want me to pull that up, or do you want to talk about this first?
I'm wondering how we're going to get it out to the people. Like, how's it going to be promoted and advertised? How would anyone find out about it?
I'm gonna not take questions alone because I don't know the answers. But how are RFPs usually put out, Tom and everybody? Like, I would assume for, you know, when we do stuff for like Friends of Oakdale Lake, we sent it out to, you know, we sent it out to all local bloggers, media, ask the city to send it out, send it to all the organizations and ask every organization to send it out through their mailing list.
Include the Hudson Business Coalition listserv. I mean, there.
The Chamber of Commerce, CEDC also did the same thing.
Right.
They had a similar grant. They sent it out via email, and then they also made it available, I think, through the city website with a link or something.
Yep.
And Facebook forums.
I think we probably, once we're comfortable with the draft, I think we probably, I guess probably the grant subcommittee, since we're the ones who are doing it, need to put our heads together, come up with a strategy, probably write the whole tourism board and ask for ideas, and then like within a day or two, write up a strategy and then execute it for getting it spread as widely as possible using all of the city's experience and probably any of our other organizational experience for getting RFPs out.
And do you think that the rating system, like, does that like correlate with how much money people receive, or is it just correlate as how like high up they are in the docket or whatever? Like, what does that mean?
Well, since I sort of recommend them to do it, it's mainly to justify afterwards when some people complain about not getting grants. So you can say, look, this grant rated high, this award or whatever we're calling it now, ranked higher. That's really the main reason. That's how we do it with official RFPs.
So that was my big question too. Is it just like, so it is very subjective. It's at the discretion of the tourism board to decide. And obviously with approval of the Common Council, there's no true justification behind the rating system that applies to anything that we need, like a structure that we need to be taking into consideration when evaluating the proposals.
I'm not sure I understand that question because, yeah, I mean, the questions are good questions. So, yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, but it's always going to be partly subjective. You know, I mean,
I didn't know if there needed to be another level of sort of discussing what the rating system 1 through 5 means and how we attach. It's a little, because it's subjective without any further definition or clarification. It's just a question that I have.
Well, can I respond to that?
Cindy, yeah. You're on mute. Cindy, you're muted. Sorry, Tamar, go ahead.
Well, if Cindy's trying to talk, I can wait.
No, Tamar, go.
You're not muted. That was good. You did it.
Okay.
just three different answers. One is, I'm glad that you're asking that question, Kate, because Sydney was asking similar questions at some point, and I had the same response as Tom. And so I think this is obviously something that we really need to answer. My response was, as long as we come up with questions that should be where we want the answers to, we're in the question, we're expressing the values that we hope will be upheld by the proposal, then a high score would mean full grant awarded, like full reward. And then it would be like useful, like it would be useful to us because we would go, oh, look, like this contributes to walkability. It's a, it targets an underserved population. It is engaging our creative community. It's ADA compliant, like it is all these things. So I think one of the things that we were trying to do when we wrote this, but we could all take a look at and make sure we're doing, is make sure that the questions that we're asking will give us a good indication of whether those values are going to be present in the project or forwarded by the project. Another thing is that so that was answer one. Answer two was we played around with having, and we might want to look at it again, a slightly different scoring template where we can just make it clear for ourselves, like, does it do this? Does it do that? You know what I mean? Where like we can just, we can have a separate thing where we're like, they get
like a check.
Yeah, where so that it's, and what might be useful about that is that like it can kind of tease out some of the intricacies a little bit and just be, we each can go, okay, it does do this, 5. It does, and we've done that before, and we could, I think, pretty easily take these red texts, put them into that kind of a checklist and see if it makes sense to add a few to like tease it out further to make it so that we want ideally to be able to be funding projects that get good scores.
Right.
So that's the point of having it. The only other thing, and then my third answer, and I'll stop talking, is the reason we did do do definitions is because I think there are certain terms that are more subjective than others, and we wanted to have an attached definition sheet so that walkability is defined, climate resiliency is defined, and we did those two, and we did tactical urbanism defined, but I think we also, you know, probably could add to that what we mean by targeting an underserved community or differently abled, or you know what I mean? I think part of it is like, well, what is walkability? So if you want to look at, I don't know if that one also helps because we don't have to look at it now, but I do think having definitions will help.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the checklist makes a lot of sense to me. Maybe it's just the way my brain works, but I can just sort of be like, okay, that's an easier way to justify or to think through the structure by which we're evaluating something. And I love the definitions. I think it's helpful, educational, and very clear. So that's certainly helpful to me. So I appreciate that as well.
I have an issue with just one definition. Instead of minority, that's just the only thing that I kind of saw. I didn't really like the way that the word just plays on people.
Yeah,
we hate it too. We really hate it. We put it in parentheses. We kicked around.
We talked about it.
Yeah. So this is exactly what we want. Lay it on us. If there's stuff in here you don't like.
Or what can we do instead, Cece? Can we
marginalized? You say marginalized.
Marginalized.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just add that's kind of language that the state uses in applications. You don't need to stick to it. That's just, you know, they talk about MWBE, minority women, whatever. But you don't need to stick to that.
I know.
Yeah. No, we're so happy. Like we had this whole conversation, and where we landed was like, yeah, let's get it wrong and try to get it right. You know, like we knew we would mess up in multiple ways, and that would be part of the, you know, that's part of writing something like this is figuring out how to get at what you're trying to get at, right?
Yeah.
All four of us hated Minority. All of us. We were just...
That's good, Cece. Can you hear me, Chris? Can you hear me?
Go for it.
Okay. Kate, the problem with the line things, is it walkable, all those things, some projects are not going to be walkable, and then so they don't get a score. And what you can do by that is a lot of projects will, if you can write about what your project is, then you can explain that it's not walkable, so it won't be judged by that. But otherwise, if you have line, is it walkable, is it do this, does it do that, it will, I think, affect some projects that actually are really good that they could explain in the questions. But if they're judged like that, they could get a lower score than they actually deserve.
But to clarify something, I don't think Kate was talking about a checklist for the applicants. The applicants, this is the RFP.
No, I know, but that's how we're going to be doing it, because we won't be able to...
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying if... But we would be reading it. We're reading the answers, right?
Yeah, but then if it's not walked, say, for example, it's not walkable, and then we have a line where we give it a 5 or a 1, then it's... But when you read the answer, it explains why it's not walkable, but it's still something you have to give some kind of, you know, number to. And I think I really don't like that.
Got it.
If I can jump in here, I think what we probably want to create, can everyone hear me?
Hi, Felice.
Yes.
Hi. So I think what we probably want to create is a rubric that kind of merges the, you know, the criteria. And it's not just about scoring, because scoring is just like one dimension of evaluating a proposal. So I think if we create a rubric, it'll be easy. We can publish that along with the RFP, and we can use it internally as well. But I think that's it's a transparent way of showing, here's all the criteria that we're going to evaluate every proposal on. And it's a combination of, you know, scoring, but will it meet all this criteria? And I think that's what everyone's kind of talking about, but creating a rubric would be helpful.
They won't all meet that. It's like some of them will meet some of them in a brilliant way,
right,
and meet other ones at all, you know? So I think it can be very, I don't know. I think it can be very.
Can I ask a question, if everybody can hear me? It's Jane.
We can hear you. Yeah.
Okay.
Hi. I'm wondering if you're thinking about any sort of hierarchy of almost a rubric was a really good good word to use, but within that rubric, is there any sort of hierarchy of oh man, do I have to compete with Lewis? Hierarchy of, I'm going to say needs, but of categories or of values that you're looking at. So for example, what's really important to the group is walkability and tactical urbanism, and, you know, that gets scored. And then other values are really important, and some values are less so. Are you thinking about that at all? Is that helpful in a way? Because it seems like, as it's been pointed out, you've got so many different questions and so many different scores that you kind of don't know how to, it seems like it might be difficult to determine how to really meld it all together. Rubric is sort of where I'm headed with this, but I'm also thinking of some sort of hierarchy within that rubric.
Jane, if you read it again, you will see that all the questions will bring out the way that people will feel about their project, and I think we will be able to see, you know, how it, because I think it's going to be scored in multiple ways. You know, you get a feeling like this will help many things, you know, and if it only helps a certain slice of Hudson, it might help it brilliantly. So I just think that we have to be able to, you know, if we get too score oriented, I think we could miss out on something really good.
Oh, I'm not, I'm just for your evaluative purposes, that's all I'm, so I thank you. It's that's helpful, and I'll obviously look forward to looking at this more carefully than
This is Chris. I'm just going to jump in for a minute. I'd like to just back up for just a second and discuss, because I think this will help us frame this. How are we going to score them? because this is something that our group, the four of us, discussed, but didn't feel that we really could make that determination. We wanted the broader group to understand, does everybody on the tourism board go through? Do we all give a score and then we do an aggregate? Is there a smaller subcommittee? Does it roll? And I don't have the answers, but I wanted to put it out for the group to kind of discuss the fairest way for us to evaluate proposals.
Good point.
And Chris, just to jump on that point too, I think, you know, this is a first pass on the RFP. So if there's criteria that, you know, the rest of the board feels like just, you know, doesn't fit, or if people want to add something else, like, this is not a final, you know, it's a draft. So it's for everyone to provide input. So if there's additional criteria that we need to put in, or if it just is too complicated, people should speak up.
I was gonna ask what Chris brought up, but I think it kind of does make sense if we all individually scored it and created some sort of aggregate, and then beyond that, we could still talk about it, you know, and someone could argue to, like, you know, maybe, you know, something didn't get valued for its walkability, but we could excuse that, you know, to move it forward. There could still be a discussion that would maybe eliminate a lot of the sort of beginning, you know, we could all kind of do our own homework, come up with a common score.
My child isn't, he's screaming in a different room now. I think I get the sense that there is, like, Kate, I think that you and my brains work more similar in terms of, like, wanting things to be in lines. But I also, I think that based on what Jane said and based on what Sydney said, I do, and the desire for a rubric, I think we have a rubric and touring capacity in the RFP that we have now. I wouldn't want to get bogged down in, like, trying to come up with a whole different mechanism when I do think, like, I can make my brain work like this if I, like, look at each thing. If I read the definitions enough and stuff. I think if in general there's a sense that, you know, have making sure that as we're trying to each make our own decisions, we're looking at the document with the narrative answers, and we have the scores in there. As long as we're all scoring along the same, as long as we're all scoring the same criteria or values, it doesn't really matter how we do it independently. I think, like, I just want to make sure we don't slow down too much on this. I'm totally happy to just, you know, make, if people feel comfortable having narratives in front of them and want to put their scores there, like, that's great as far as I'm concerned. And I think, you know, I think we can probably
figure it out.
Yeah. I do think it would be great to have the full group, score each one. And it might be helpful if we're going to do that. And also to Kate's point, weirdly, I mean, I don't know if he really has this document, but my husband for many years worked doing mentorship, like with an organization that did mentorship for new businesses. And they had lots of, like, guidelines for how you think about scoring stuff and, like, how you need to think about your own score. And maybe just all of us having one of those before we set out on this would be helpful, because I just did, like, the worst example of this. I'm evaluating proposals for a Friends of Oakdale Lake grant, and all of us had to score, you know, like 10 people scored these applications, and I gave everybody, like, almost a perfect score because I was so excited that they wanted to do the project, which of course is totally useless when you then try to evaluate. So we had to discount, like, what we decided to do was essentially discount my score. It was the only way to make it, because everybody got, no, it's fine. I mean, we're doing interviews, but it's like everybody got with a 98 and 100 because I was so excited. And so I think just have, if I had read in advance something that's like, these are the definitions and this is how you should think about scoring, then that would be really helpful. And maybe, you know, I'm happy to take on getting that from my husband. I'm sure it's somewhere in his world. Just putting together a kind of, like, how to think about it so that you don't give everybody perfect score, you don't give people nothing, and that we're able to keep in mind that if something isn't walkable, it may be something else, and it all gets to get, you know, weighted together.
I have a process question. for the group, if we for these, which I think is a great idea, the more voices, the better. Would it be something where we would require a quorum? Because I don't want, like, if one person doesn't get back on the score, then we could potentially hold the process up. And there is a time commitment here.
Sure.
Where everyone's going to have to read. It's going to be some homework.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with most of what's been said about the collective group kind of chiming in with the scorecards. But if we want to, like, designate a committee to, like, you know, pass through each proposal, I'm open to that. Really, whatever the group is open to, I think we're all willing to put our heads together here.
I agree. I do agree with Chris's question, just about, like, us really, you know, what would the expectation be from the time that the proposals are received till the time that we all give feedback or whatever ends up being the most appropriate way. You know, I know we want this to move quickly. What seems reasonable to everybody?
I think Chris had maybe suggested this idea within our group, or maybe tomorrow, I don't remember who it was, but having rotating review groups so that, you know, the responsibility isn't on everybody or just one small group, so that everybody in the board has some opportunity to review some of the proposals. I don't know.
I think it's better if everybody gets a chance to review the proposals. I didn't ever hear about the rotating thing.
I saw it in an email somewhere.
It was an idea. No, I think Chris brought it up during our first meeting, but my sense is, even though I think it will be a lot of reading, but my sense is that kind of the reason that we as a group want to do this is because we all want to help direct this ship, and that we want to choose what gets funded. And because of that, I think we should do the homework, and we should just make a pretty strict time commitment. And if we can't figure out a quorum, you know, figure out that it that we decide to do it with the quorum and make firm deadlines, and if not, you know, and make sure that and hope that enough people meet them. And I know it's a pain, but they're not that long, and they're going to be exciting to read because it's what so many of us care about.
Yeah.
I think we should just, because, like, I know we want the feedback of this whole group.
Yes.
So Calvin, Tom, and Jane, how much time would the council need? Just thinking process-wise and working back. You know, we probably don't want to make our recommendations the day of the common council meeting. Maybe we get it in by the informal and give the council a week to review. Does that?
That's always the best way.
Yeah.
Like, and the informal meetings are usually the first Monday?
No, the second Monday, and then the formal is the third Tuesday. Right?
Right. So should we, I'm just thinking process-wise, you know, do we say, like, the first of the month or the first Monday of each month? Is a week enough time for us to go through and score, and then forward recommendations?
I think so.
But Sorry. A lot of that just depends on how many proposals come in at any given point in time.
You're right.
Right. So it could change on any given month. So who knows? That's a tough question to answer, I think.
The good thing about it being monthly is that nobody's going to feel too stressed out about it. So,
totally.
You know, it's May 4th. We know we've already received, we haven't looked at them, but, like, people are trying, like, Peter Spear wants to send one in. Bindlestiff wants to send one in.
Sam Merritt.
Waterfront. Right. So, like, we know that three people have them essentially ready to go, which means we're probably going to be looking at three that we've already essentially read, or, like, you know, been emailed, or, you know, or not like in that form, but it's people, stuff that have been, people have been, like, working on and and percolating on. And then, so those, and then it, everybody else will have, you know, I think with a, if we really do it monthly, then it won't be, then a week is enough time because everyone will know they don't need to like hustle and get theirs ready for that month. And Tom pointed out, I think last time, that checks get cut fast. So once the council,
the next day,
just decides that we can move something forward, people can go ahead and get their project started.
Mm-hmm. Great. No delaying for, you know, the mayor's signature. I'm making a reference to Trump.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. Mayor's signature on the checks. No.
Bad joke. Sorry.
Oh, Trump jokes.
I'm thinking of the stimmy money. So it sounds like we're moving.
No, so what was that? Are you writing down these dates that you just said? Or that schedule, that process? What, it was the first, you said people would, we would need to have them by the first Monday of the month. Is that what you said?
That was what I was thinking. First Monday of the month, so that that gives us an entire week to get it to the second Monday of the month, which is the informal meeting. And then that gives the Common Council a week and a day before they have their official meeting where... how is the Common Council going to, during the official meeting, go through each recommendation?
Probably not. If we have it by the informal, we could do that. That's traditionally how it works. Informal is where we, if we have the stuff in front of us, we can talk about it at length, and then it gets introduced, and then we have the formal vote, unless there's some reason to... bypass that process.
Right. I'm sorry. So that would work for the Common Council board members on here. You're saying that if we got something to you by the informal meeting, then you could discuss it at the informal meeting, and you're giving everybody ample time to do their official vote the following Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good. Is that comfortable to everyone on the board?
Like, I was just going to make one suggestion, which is if the proposals could be in by the last Friday of the month, that gives us an extra like weekend to go through them, and still we would definitely have enough time to get Common Council informal meeting what they needed in plenty of time, I feel like.
I like that. You're padding.
Yeah, a little.
First Friday of the month.
No, padding is good. That means things don't get dropped. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, okay, hold on. The first, how do you say that? The last Friday before the first Monday of the month?
Well, no, so, the last Friday of each month is by definition.
So it would be,
because that's not enough time, is it? You get it on Friday and then we have to have it by Monday?
No, sorry. So let's take this month, for example. It's May 4th today. Let's just say we said May 29th.
Yeah.
That would
be
Kate is giving us three more days.
Yeah. My brain just wasn't working for how you write it. It just, then I got, you said it and I wrote it. It's fine.
So can we just clarify this though again? Because I still wasn't understanding. The submissions need to be in by the last Friday of the month, which is the 29th of May.
And then when would we have to get it to the Common Council, the first, the informal Common Council?
The second Monday of each month.
So that gives us at least a week?
Yeah, here,
June, that would be the 8th. It gives us exactly 10 days.
Yeah.
To review and then come up with, like, a proposal to submit to the Common Council.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. That would be enough time.
This is how I just wrote it. Can you see that? Oops, I put by the last Friday of each month. I'd be introduced monthly to Common Council's information. Nope, informal meeting. What happens when I type and talk?
And who do we officially, who would people, once we get the word out, who would they officially send this to? Does this go to you, your city mail, Calvin?
Yeah, we can do it that way. I'm open to that.
I don't want to like open the floodgates to you either.
Right. I appreciate that. Right. That's why I was saying we can have that conversation now.
Has like the city ever
used? Sorry, go ahead, Felice.
Oh, sorry, Calvin. I have a delay. Has the city ever used something like Dropbox or any kind of online file system so that everything can be collected in one place, and that would make it easy for everyone to kind of check in one place? Or I don't know how the city's done that before.
I don't know how to do that, so I wouldn't know. I thought Dropbox, you had to be pretty close to get that from Dropbox. It had to be something close to you where you are.
No, you're thinking
virtual Dropbox, Sydney. Virtual, like on your phone. It'd be a file sharing system.
This is different.
Yeah.
We can show you how to use it. I think that's a great idea, so that if we could have them put it in a Dropbox or have everybody send it to one person who can reliably put it directly in a Dropbox, and everybody has access to it.
That's sort of what we've done with a lot of applications that have gone out for RFPs. In a number of cases, Rob Perry would get all the documents, everybody's responses, and then tabulate them and then recirculate everything. Same sort of thing.
And what's Rob Perry's title in terms of, is he like...
I'm not saying to use him. I'm just saying how we've done it. The city has used it. I'm not saying you should use him. I'm just...
I guess the consideration is whether there's a city email, whether there's an info at the city, or whether... Again, I don't want to flood your email, Calvin.
Right.
On the other hand, it's also maybe not such a bad idea for people to reach out to you if you wanted that.
Yeah, we can, for the time being, we can go with that format.
We could try it.
Yeah, use Dropbox and...
Send to the chair.
Yeah.
What, do you want to do send it to the chair and one member of the grant subcommittee so that if you're feeling overwhelmed at work, because everything's on a kind of short timeline, do you want to add somebody from our subcommittee that so that if you don't have time to move it into the Dropbox quickly so everybody can read it, one of us can make sure to do it if it doesn't show up there? Chris, do you want to do that? Do you want me to do that? I'm thinking about people
who are volunteering me, and I was going to volunteer you.
I'm fine doing it. I'm happy to do it. I'm other than I'm free from 2 to 5 every day, and as you can see.
I got a text from, I assume, Stephanie Monceau about another grant that she applies for. The panel uses a Google Sheet to collect applications, URLs, and additional documentation all in one place.
Yeah, Google's another option.
Okay. Just
also,
let it share.
Also, next year with the legal team, with Cheryl Robertson and her team, because sometimes there's a certain preference by the legal team on what you use, whether it's Dropbox or Google.
Okay,
so why don't we put me and Calvin on the and have them email it to us, but with a commitment that before this even starts, we're going to talk to Cheryl and then choose either Google or Dropbox. And Sydney, you're going to get a tutorial from Chris.
Okay.
Because he's good at, I feel like you speak Sydney tech language. So that's the order of operations.
Okay.
And then we'll all know everything.
Sounds great.
I have a question. In terms of capacity, we've already gotten some applications and we're not even fully like there yet. What is our capacity? What are our limits? What are we doing in terms of cutoff? When we, let's say you and Calvin receive 25 or 50 applications in the first week that it's posted. I mean, what are we going to do to facilitate holding down and holding all of that? Because that's a lot.
Yeah.
I have an injury. They fold.
Yeah, that's a good question, Cece. I think that, we do have to be prepared for that. And I think that it's a very real possibility, maybe not in the first month, but depending on how long this whole thing, depending on how long social distancing keeps us in our homes, we might see a spike, you know, in June or July. So it's a valid question. I don't have an answer for that other than, yeah, I just don't know.
I mean, it's tough because I think, go ahead.
We could set a number that's like the cap to our capacity, like maybe it's 30 applications per month, and once that's reached.
That's a good idea, Kristen. I think that's a good idea. Unless they all send them in at one time.
I'm getting a text from Sophie Henderson who has some ideas about Submittable as a good platform for accepting applications. So there might be a way that we can automate this a little bit. And I will follow up with her after this. She's really very good on this stuff. So we might have an easier way to do this.
Okay.
Yeah, Submittable, I would vote for that too, if there's a way that we could do it. And if there's a way to even use the city website, the tourism link, to post the link to wherever we're accepting submissions, along with like the whole RFP, that might be helpful too.
Yes, that could be put on the front page of the city website when you're ready.
Okay, good.
Well, so there's a limited amount of money too. Like I read it was $100,000 for the social distancing and the long term. Mm-hmm. So couldn't we just divide that number divided by, you know, how the amount of grants that we're going to give per month so that there's kind of there's a limited amount of money, so.
But it's ranged. It's a range between 5 to 15. So depending on the scale of each submission, we won't know. I mean, we could get 5 and all of them only want 5, but we could get 5 and they all want 15.
Right.
So that it's a scale thing. So I'm not sure how that would help. I think we just have to take each one on a case basis and just cut off what we can and consider the next month a redo.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah, so then, you know, somebody might have submitted and it didn't get considered in May, but gets considered in June at the top of the list.
Right, yeah.
Great.
We had talked about, and I'm sorry, I've been so bad about catching up on all the emails, but I know we had talked about maybe starting out with a short-term grants first, and then maybe waiting a month or two for the long-term grant. I don't know what our subcommittee, if we had like made a decision on that, or what everyone else thinks, if that might be a way to stagger the money and make sure that, you know, the long-term awards are given a little more time since they're bigger and probably more in-depth.
That sounds good, Feliz, because I saw the news last night and they were like 10 or more cities that were open, malls open. So, I mean, we could probably be open by the end of this first series of submissions at the end of May.
Why don't you...
I'm not sure about that. Maybe, you know, Cuomo's basically said until the middle of May, and then that would just be construction. I think we're looking a little bit later, but... I am not the authority on that, and we do have to be prepared for all contingencies.
Yeah, there might be, like, rules, you know, in terms of, like, at least for restaurants, like, 50% capacity and sort of limitations on that throughout the summer.
But,
The other thing, guys, is, like, the meeting is not until the 19th, right? And what are we going to give them? We're going to have this looked at by Cheryl and then give them what we've sort of adjusted and edited from this meeting?
Well, they don't have to, the Common Council doesn't need to look at anything until we have funding recommendations.
What's happening, you mean they don't have to see our RFP? They don't have to see that?
Right. We just need to, and Cheryl already has this. She hasn't gotten back to us, but that is underway. The council does not have to see this RFP. So once we've agreed on things, this can go out.
It can go out before the 19th,
this was the thing we clarified right after the last meeting. But the only thing the council has to see is our specific funding recommendations for the
action. In other words, we could get things funded by the 19th. We could get some funded by the 19th.
Well, if we said that for May, the deadline is different. It's the 4th now. if we can agree on something, say we're going to have a deadline that is in a week,
right,
and then read everything, and then the council, if the council is going to have a week to make their decisions, then that would mean getting them our decisions by the 12th, and today is the 4th.
Right.
But it would be changing that part of it. In terms of prioritizing, we had talked about that, Felice, but then when we put the long and short term onto one RFP, we decided that it would be easier. I mean, that part of the decision, when we okayed the kind of reconceiving of it into this one document, that was when we decided to put them together. It seems like we should, it doesn't seem that likely to me that people are going to be, I think people are going to be naturally asking for shorter term things. And the few people that are asking for longer term things probably need to start working on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's terrible. I think it would be worth letting them start working on it. You know, like the longer if we don't let people start working on their long-term project, then it won't
happen. Like Sam, for example, you know, is trying to do something that's pretty, I think that he's probably more of a long-term.
Definitely more. Yeah, he wants more money. He needs at least $10,000, and the short-term is capped at $5,000.
I wouldn't want to hold stuff like that up, and I imagine that it's not, you know, people, they're not going to, like, if some of the in real life stuff can't happen right now, that can be held for next year. But I would encourage starting to get the long-term projects moving along with the short-term ones and holding people, you know, really accountable for all the deliverables. We haven't put into this something that I think Michael said we should, which is that we're going to need, for the long-term ones, certainly we're going to need, you know, more regular reporting.
Because you would get the check as soon as you got approved. So even if it was, you know, for next December or something, or, you know, this coming winter, you would get money up front.
Also on the money front, we put some numbers in there. So, you know, you guys are, everybody on the board, please chime in. But we figured there's about 400K. We didn't want this to be kind of a situation like with the federal government where everybody went in and it was first come, first serve. We wanted to be able to pace this and be able to provide funding through all stages of recovery. So we arbitrarily picked 100K for short term, 100K for long term, saving roughly half of the funds for, you know, down the road and later things.
Wow.
But if other people on the board have a strong opinion, please, by all means, either now or afterwards, let us know.
Well, the 5K short term would mean that's over 10 projects happening, right?
5K would be 20 projects.
Projects happening.
20 in this initial. We put 2020 down because, you know, we're in May now. We're roughly halfway through the year. But like I said, all of that, you know, if we decided that we wanted to up those numbers, you know.
Well, the thing is, you know, there's $200,000 is not very much money when you really start. We might have projects that we as a board want to initiate ourselves that will cost money. So I feel like, you know, we shouldn't put everything into grants because we might have ideas that we want to finance.
The website, exactly, a website. And the website maintenance and management going forward, especially for notices and our own submissions and things like that. We want to have a place for that.
Yep. That's going to cost money.
That's right. So
like $100,000 for short term is a lot of money.
It does seem like a lot of money. Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things that I agree. And it's one of the things that we built in is that we don't have to spend all that money. And we could put it to 500. We could put it 50,000. We don't have to. Right, Chris?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know,
that might be a good idea.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if everybody has an action item, if everybody could kind of think about that and kind of get back and chime in to.
Or we could just talk about it right now. Does everybody want it to be 50,000?
I think
10,000 sounds good to me. And then 15,000
sounds reasonable. More.
Yeah.
Wait, Hannah, what did you just say?
Well, we can always add on to it later. If we get an overwhelming amount of submissions, I think it's maybe better to reserve more and then we can extend it.
Yeah, and I do think we're going to applications for less than $5,000 too.
Yeah. That's the top.
Okay.
Right.
Oh. Right. No alphabet right now. No alphabet.
So should we, I mean, has everybody read this? Or do people want to make further comments on this so that we can move past it? I know there's other stuff on the agenda.
I mean, I liked all the questions. I thought they were really good and considerate questions. And I agree with Kate that maybe just in the back end, we just need maybe a more systemized chart. But I think the questions are good and it makes sense.
That's good.
Why is everybody else coming? They're right here.
Everybody's here. See?
Why are you coming in, Mama?
Because I was looking at the document. Okay, so...
What's the document?
My love, we have to talk about this afterwards.
Maybe a deadline for getting some feedback?
Good idea.
I don't want people to feel pressure that, like, you have to... Speak now or forever hold your peace on the call. I want you to go. We're all going to walk away from this meeting and some thoughts are going to come into our head and we're going to say, should we, what would be a comfortable deadline for everybody to take a final pass at the document before we can start to say it's not fully locked, but, you know, mostly baked?
I mean, has everybody looked at... Everybody's had the document for a while.
You're on mute.
Oh, sorry.
I just said 24 to 48 hours. I would just like to read through it one more time, like, with after talking to everyone and hearing everyone's thoughts and seeing if anything else comes up. But I'm with Hannah. I feel like it's in a really good place. And thank you guys so much for all of the work. I know it's a lot of work.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's just, like, I don't know, 24 hours, 48 hours?
2 days, I think.
Yeah, 48 sounds good.
48 hours?
Yeah.
Do people feel comfortable going into the Google Doc and going into the suggestion mode and making their comments right in the document or making comments on the document?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all there for everybody to see, and there's no, one of the things that I like about Google Docs is that there's no, like, hegemony. It's not like one person is reviewing it, you know?
Right, right.
Okay, so 48 hours. Today is Sunday. I don't know what day it is.
Today is Monday.
Oh, Monday. It's a poor Wednesday. We're ready to send around an email saying, are people feeling good about this? And then get it out there?
I'm just going to pass on some feedback that I've gotten. Somebody's texted me. I'm not sure who it is. I don't recognize the number, but... Mark Scrivo is telling me that... his feedback would be, prefers that we don't lower the number, that we actually leave the number high. So that's just feedback from the public. Somebody was saying, let's not lower it to 50, let's keep it at 100. I don't disagree with that. I would say, you know, we're taking 48 hours to review the document. If everybody could just kind of think about that one more time, and you know, if you all decide 50, I'm cool. I'll go along with it. But I would probably put my hand in the air for getting more money out now.
Well, I think though that first of all, it's going to be rolling, right? It's going to be different, so we don't even.
Yeah. Know.
And
it's not 100K the first month. That's correct.
Right.
Yeah, but I think that if we decide that 50 isn't enough, we can put more money into it. But I think it might be good to start with 50. For the short term.
What is the
great. I just wanted to pass on the public comment.
Yeah, no, I've been getting comments from Mark also. And I'm trying to explain to him that you guys can increase the numbers and the money anytime you want. There's no boundary between you and anybody, the counselor, anything. You have your budget. You have your amount of available money, and you can use as much or as little as you want. I hope that helps, Mark, if you're listening. Sorry.
The question is that if we all agree right now, they'll say majority said 50, how would you know that that's...
CC, I can't hear you.
You're cutting out.
Can you type...
Also get text on... Can you hear me?
I just want to add that I think we're in such a time of uncertainty, you know, in terms of like these events and gatherings and tourism in general, that I think maybe to be a little more conservative, and then as things roll out, you know, we can slowly like put more money up there. But it's like, who knows what tourism's going to look like in Hudson, you know, in May and June in the short term. So,
and I agree. Right. Yeah, it's so uncertain.
Yeah. I agree too. I think, you know, Tom already said we can add more money to the project if we want to, but I think.
Yeah.
Time is uncertain, and people are going to be coming up with ideas to adapt to the new times. And I think while we want to get funding out to people right away, I think this will also give people an opportunity to be really thoughtful about what will contribute a lot of value to our community. I feel good about the 50 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
Great. Okay.
You have her?
Yeah. A good place for proposals. For the proposal of the RFP.
What?
What was that?
Are we in a good place for the RFP? Are we feeling comfortable?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we?
In 48 hours. We're going to feel like we're in a good place. We can formalize it, come up with a strategy for getting it out there, solicit input from the whole board on that strategy, and then by the end of the week, send it out.
Yes.
Sure. Do we need to have another emergency meeting to go over the strategy? Is that going to be the best way to get you guys feedback as fast? No. Cool. Okay.
We'll just do it. We'll just solicit it from you guys.
Okay.
But it's not a yay or nay thing.
Will there be, like, after Wednesday, after the 48 hours, will the new document be sent to everyone with any changes that are made so that we can all see what happened?
Yeah, and you can always see all that. You can always see it all. Like, if you just click.
But we don't know who's, like, people make suggestions. Maybe one suggestion will be taken, another one won't. So when it's formalized, will everybody get a chance to see what is actually going to go out?
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Sydney, I'll help you on that. I can actually see, and others can too, we can see who makes the comments.
Yeah, but who makes them, but then which ones are taken? So at the end, will we have everything, you know, okay. That's
at the end of the 40, then we'll be able to see the final.
Yeah, we'll send out the final before, yeah.
Okay, good. All right, thanks.
I got another question from Mark Scrivo. He said, if proposals come in for $250,000 worth of awesomeness, then those over cap get delayed a month? That's a question.
No.
I don't think there really is.
No,
that's
not going to happen.
It's just not going to happen, right?
It's not going
to
happen.
Okay. I just wanted to, you know, because
we're not looking.
What's that?
So we're not looking for that.
Exactly.
I think that's
the point.
I think that if somebody, this is my opinion, but I think that if somebody came up with this killer 250K proposal and we all read this proposal and we said, oh my goodness, this is exactly what Hudson needs, then I think we could discuss it. But I don't think we need to set up the process in such a way to enable that. But, you know, there's flexibility here. So, again, if somebody said, hey, here's a proposal for $300,000 and this is going to fix everything, and if we all agreed, then we could discuss.
That means it cuts out everybody else. So I don't think that, you know, I think that would be highly unlikely.
And that would be more of like a long-term thing anyways, because it's not like you're trying to produce that big of an event in like the course of a month. Right. So I think that would fall under another category.
Agreed.
But for Mark Scrivo, I just want him to know that, like, we wouldn't just say, no way, go away. We'd entertain anything. We'd listen.
Well, I don't think so, though. And if we send out the RFP that we're talking about, it has limits.
Right.
Well, I agree, but what I'm saying is if somebody came to the board and said, I have something that's outside of the realm of this, I think we would listen to what they had to say, even if we didn't put it through the official process.
Or for the sake of this meeting, and because we have a set agenda and we've been in the meeting for an hour and 11 minutes, we could go RFP. This is clearly something that we all want to talk about in the future and can talk about more, and go on thinking about more and maybe just move.
Yeah, we're going into some hypotheticals.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody happy with the RFP?
With the plan for the RFP.
Plan for the RFP.
The 48 hours. 48 hours.
I also have a discussion that is a bit brainstormy. I'm going to keep it short because I know everybody has already put in a lot of time, and it will be more of a please consider and come back with ideas. Can I share a screen? I think I can. Are you guys
yep.
able to see this?
It's
Great. Okay. So I have been participating in the HDC Emergency Cultural Task Force, and there was a real appetite in that meeting, in that group, to have a smaller group that works with the tourism board and coordinates with us. So I have been having weekly meetings with this group, and in that group, there has been a real call for a master plan, which I thought was very interesting.
Yep.
Oh, let me see if I can. Okay. So the thinking here was planning for Hudson post-pandemic's future. You know, the governor has challenged us to reimagine society. I think that it's a real opportunity. It's a challenge, but an opportunity to reimagine New York and Hudson. I think that we have to start thinking beyond recovery and kind of prepare for whatever the new normal is, meaning that we have to be prepared for whatever happens in the future, but also be agile for, you know, other viruses, natural occurrences. We need to focus on business resiliency. And we really need to start to focus on a master plan. So a call out to Tammy Dillon at Hudson Hall, who really impressed upon me and the group that if we set up a process and we just take everybody who qualifies, that's great. But we do have to put some thought, and somebody in Hudson has to put some thought into what projects are going to advance us, what are going to help us to have this agile, resilient city. Another call out to Jonah, who was really pushing the whole concept of the 100 resilient cities from the Rockefeller Foundation. So the idea here would be that so many people in the city right now are very, very interested in helping. There's a bit of redundancy. And what do we do to capture, reduce that redundancy, grab the right people, and move forward with a plan that would be the best for Hudson? It's not necessarily 100% our responsibility, but I wanted to bring it up to the tourism board because I think that now more than ever, our role is very central to what happens to Hudson going forward. So the concept of a master plan. And Mark Scrivo, who's listening, which is great, is really the one who championed kind of three pillars for how a master plan could take shape. You know, one being infrastructure. We have to start thinking not only of, you know, how do we support businesses, but how are we able to physically enable social distancing? You know, how can we do things in the city, you know, when sidewalks are narrow to open for business? And how do we reimagine that?
So we really need to do infrastructure. Just so you know, the Future Hudson is going to address our little mini group on Friday, and we're going to discuss kind of ideas on how we can work together. Obviously, the business community, you know, anticipating the unknown, finding new ways to support businesses, how do we drive business? And then the last pillar is the one that this group is working with, and I've been really kind of surprised, pleasantly surprised, and really kind of overwhelmed with how careful, considerate, and passionate they are about helping Hudson. And that's the cultural institutions and arts organizations, which is the heart of Hudson, if you will.
Right.
How do we attract, support, retain local artists in crisis? How do we help other cultural institutions grow? And what's most generous is that the cultural institutions are having this discussion already with how do we move, how are we able to create events, activities, different things that are going to drive business for Hudson. So there's a lot of thought going on. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here, but I wanted to challenge the tourism board to play a role in what we do for a master plan. We're not responsible for that alone, but I'm already seeing huge groups coming together talking about this, and I feel like we need to be part of the conversation. How do we bring back tourists appropriately? Obviously, our grants are a big part of this, but the part that I'm most passionate about, to be honest, is coordination and alignment with other organizations, because if we do this right, we will have a recovery in Hudson that not only gets us back on track, but also sets us up for the future and prepares us for other crises. So that's in a nutshell what I wanted to talk about, and then just hand it back to the group and challenge how we can do, how the tourism board can go beyond tourism and go into coordination with other organizations and help move this forward.
How do we get the coordination and alignment with other organizations, Chris?
Well, we're starting to see it organically already. You know, the HDC has a number of different task forces. Kristen is on one with hospitality. The cultural one is incredibly active. So you've got, you know, you've got Hudson Hall, you've got the Donna Becker Art Institute, you've got people who are already jumping in some cases even volunteering resources. So I guess the question would be, and I think Michael stepped away, but it'd be interesting to see how we could coordinate with the Common Council, with the Mayor's Office, cultural organizations, Tourism Board, so that there's a conversation. We're not having conversations where everybody's having a conversation with this person and then that person. How do we get everybody in the same room? Because the biggest challenge here is what we call air traffic control or coordination. You know, who's responsible for this? And who's thinking about master plan?
Chris, even understanding, like charting it and understanding who is doing what, even if there was a central Google Doc, I mean, that's, you know, a little far-fetched, but for everybody just to even understand like what the HDC is working on, what the HBC is working on, what the tourism board, and knowing who the cast of characters are. So you start to see some natural overlap. And yes, I think this, it's something that we've all been talking about for a long time, but this past few months, it's really been incredible to see how we can all kind of weave together naturally. I think with the task force for HDC, it started to kind of pull in some different groups, and you see that many of those people were on the original tourism board, and so you're starting, you know, we're starting to see it kind of come together.
Well, and so that's a really good point. So I'm not 100% sure who the coordination point should be, and I'm not saying that the tourism board should be there, but I'm saying that this conversation is happening in Hudson. It's moving forward. There's a lot of people really coming together. I've never seen such a spirit of people working together, plus people are at home and have the time. So our challenge as a tourism board is, what role do we want to have in this? And I'm not suggesting we drive it, But if we sit on the sidelines and we're not part of this conversation, we're missing out on a huge opportunity to shape the future of Hudson in a good way.
I have two suggestions.
Great.
One of them is, because this is, I'm so surprised that I'm saying this because I really don't like bureaucracy very much, but having a subcommittee to work on grants worked really well because we were able to like just get something done and, or, you know, get something moving. So maybe creating a, you know, a liaison subcommittee that whose job it is to keep track of what the other organizations are doing that's applicable or other boards, et cetera, applicable specifically to economic development and planning, like, and a master plan would be a good idea. I nominate Chris.
I second that.
Yeah. And so then you would kind of run that and be that liaison. And then it would be your job to sift through and present ideas to the tourism board that we could find a unique way to get behind. And as soon as you take on this role, this is my second suggestion. I did a complete streets training today with Future Hudson. Michael was on it, and the Commissioner of Youth and Aging was on it. It was a really beautiful presentation on how cities, including Albany and New York City, have adopted complete streets policies with tons of really great, doable, short and long-term projects, ways of, you know, kind of entering from the pilot project or tactical urbanist avenue so that you like do a small thing and get more support, stuff like that. So like if we had one person on this board, like you, Chris McManus, whose job it was to kind of sift through all this work and bring proposals to us for things we could get on board with to help plan and shape the city, this would be like becoming a complete, except for forming, encouraging, supporting a complete streets policy would be a good example of something that I would say, I'm going to go to Chris and say, hey, I think as a tourism board, we should be a partner in getting the city to move toward this. And it could be different things like that, where we would go to, you know, as board members, we could also think of things that we hear about and think that the board would be good partners in on the planning front, and hear of other organizations and groups doing, and you could help organize it all and give it, present it to us.
That sounds great to me. I mean, I am more than happy to step back on other things and focus on this. I do have a lot of passion around it. I have to say, working with the cultural task force has been kind of mind blowing, because I've just never seen such, I've worked with nonprofits my whole life, and I've just never seen a group of people, you know, so in tune and so aligned. It's been great. So, yeah, I'd love to do something like that. I'm willing to step back and would love to embrace anybody who would like to join in that task with me.
Chris, I think you're perfect for it.
Me too.
Agreed.
Here, here.
So who wants to put up with me and help on this?
Chris, I'll jump in and help you with it. I think it makes sense, being on the Verities board. And I think us just starting with the question of, anytime we're reviewing anything, who else is currently doing something similar? And yeah.
Great. Fantastic.
You know, what occurs to me is that this is a perfect reason for us to reserve funds, because there may be projects that we can support financially that we'll really want to be involved in. So I think that's a really good argument to, you know, be very mindful of how our money goes out with the grants and the 50,000 cap on the short term.
Great.
I think one thing with the cultural that really stands out too is that sometimes there's resources that aren't financial that allow you to kind of retain your financial resources and really get things done. I think so if we are all working together, maybe one group can help with the financial side, where another group can contribute another resource that's not necessarily money.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And also, we might be able to get grants.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a real effort. I mean, if I could put a plug in for the HDC, you know, Seth Rogovoy, Jonah, and Linda Mussman spearheaded, but the entire group was working on a stipend of sorts. Kind of what we wanted to do with these grants, and of course we are limited by the New York State Constitution, but they have been doing some aggressive fundraising so that they can put money in hands of people. So that's a perfect example of knowing what's out there, so that if somebody were to come to us for a grant, and let's say that they weren't eligible, you know, we could refer them to somebody else who might have funding.
Good idea. I think it's very exciting.
This is a very strange time. And, you know, there's a lot of misery. There's a lot of pain. But, you know, we've been through tragedies before. And there's always the silver lining. And you got to grab it. So I think I have never seen a city rally cultural institutions in such the way Hudson is. I mean, there's such a spirit of cooperation right now. And if we can use that and come out of that and continue it, man, Hudson's in great shape.
I don't mean to be a big pain, but I'm going to have to go in not too, I don't know. I feel like I haven't seen
over.
The agenda. Do we have a bunch of stuff left on the agenda?
That was really the main topics. I think our time was well spent.
Yeah, me too. I think that's it, Tamar.
Great timing. Nothing like saying you got to go at the very end.
That's actually case in point to one of the things we're talking about, though, too. There were two other meetings scheduled for this exact. So the HDC had a meeting scheduled, Tourism Board, and the HBC had a. So all three were at the same time. Well, a half an hour apart, but still. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, that's true. I realize that too. And so wherever I know that there are meetings happening, I will try to recommend and we'll schedule things for other times.
Good.
Great.
Is it okay if we
another cat
sign off and then we can go on communicating about things via email and
indeed.
Stay.
Thank you for all the